The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 25th day of January, 2013. You're listening to the Coach's Corner with world-renowned trading coach, Miss Robin Dane. You can visit Robin at robindane.com. Robin, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Dave. And it's Dave. I'm so programmed from the morning.
You are.
The afternoon, Dwayne.
I know where your heart is.
It's a wonderful day in Las Vegas.
It is. Nice day in Phoenix, too. Overcast. 90%
yep.
chance of rain tonight. So kind of looking forward to it because we don't get a yep. lot of rain. So when we do, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we had some sprinkles out there yesterday. And same thing here. They're not sure, but looks like we're going to have a nice weekend. I hope. Yeah. So we're watching those markets. We're getting in that trading zone again.
We're still hovering around the 1,500 mark. We've not yep. yet penetrated 1,500 on the E-mini futures. We have penetrated 1,500 on the S&P cash both yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're getting there sooner or later.
1,501.86 on the S&P cash. We're up 7 points on the day. So we're going to watch this, guys. You've got an hour left in today's trading session. Actually, you know, the markets will reopen, so we still have some time, okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
May not know
sure you
that,
do.
But the markets do reopen on Fridays. Because of this change in the time, the markets will close at 3:15 Chicago. They'll,
mm-hmm.
they'll actually reopen at 3:30 Chicago. Now, I bet a lot of you didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because they changed the times. So on Friday, it used to be that once that bell rang, 4:15 on the East Coast, 3:15 Chicago, that was it. We were done for the week. But I was sitting here a couple Fridays ago, and I happened to look up, and the markets were trading. And then that's when I realized that when they instituted that time change, that, you know, there was no fanfare or news put out, but it's true. The markets reopen on Friday afternoon and trade until 5 Chicago time, I believe it is. And then they
should... Is that till 6? So then 6 East Coast time.
Yeah.
No kidding.
True story.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of interesting. We're going to have to watch and see what happens during that time. No, but that could be considered overnight, right?
Well, no, it's considered when it reopens at 3:30 Chicago time, it's still the Friday session.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to really have to check into that puppy. Okay. Because a lot can happen in that time.
Yep. And it's a time of day when traders in the past did not have an opportunity to trade. So there's a little extra time in the week now, an extra hour or two. Not that we need any extra time, but it's there for those who.
Yeah, but you have a lot of these guys that are closing large positions and they can't get in or out. And maybe they didn't announce it so that the bigger guys only are in there. I don't know. But that's kind of interesting. I'm going to have to check that one out. Okay, so we're here on the Coach's Corner. I'm Robin Dane. I'm known as the Trader's Coach. I've been coaching in the business for 20-plus years and coach all different levels of trading and trade myself and really can pass on some experiences and knowledge based on the trading psychology that you may or may not have. And if you have an opportunity, go to the website. There's plenty of free information. If you've been trading for a while, you're stuck, you have a problem, things don't seem to be going well, then take the emotional trading test. There's a big red button in the top of the robindane.com site, and it's all free. And then down in the center of the homepage, there's also a bunch of free presentations, several presentations that you can look at that will also give you a good idea of, you know, kind of my approach and the way I approach the market and the way I approach my coaching. And if you're really, really, really stuck and you can't seem to get over it, give me a call. It will save you money in the long run. Trust me, it will save you money. And today's topic that I want to get into is called the dollar threshold. Now, what the heck do I mean by that? Well, I consider the dollar threshold something that each trader has, and each trader has an individual dollar threshold based on their relationship to money, what their past beliefs have been, how they grew up, how their parents raised them, their experiences with cash, you know, how they come into the business with cash and how successful or non-successful they've been during their careers. And all that affects a person's dollar threshold. Now, a dollar threshold, in essence, is when a trader will hit a certain number of profitability and not be able to get through it. So I'll have a trader that gets to, let's say, $500,000 a year, and they can't seem to get through it. Every year is the same thing, same thing. They can't seem to get better. They're a good trader, obviously, because they're making that much money, but they can't seem to get through that dollar threshold. And so there are a couple things that you want to watch out for, and we're going to talk a little bit about the relationship of the mind and money, because money really does affect our minds. And when we trade and we put our money on the line, it really does affect our minds. So it's very important to know, or at least notice, when those type of things are happening to you so that you can catch them quickly, switch them around, and have a different approach. So your beliefs and how you grew up and what your references were, especially the influence of your anybody that was around you, can influence what you believe about money. Now, some of the things that I've heard in the past, and I had to deal with this one myself, was, you know, if you made a lot of money, you were going to be a bad person. Like, if money was the main thing on your mind, you were greedy and you were a bad person. And so,
the root of
in the
all
beginning,
evil.
The root of all evil, right? Money is the root of all evil. And so when you have that kind of thinking, it can really hinder you when you go to trade, because subconsciously what's happened is your subconscious mind is reacting to what you're doing and can hold you back in your trading. So the dollar amount that you think of, or the dollars in general, money in general, your beliefs about money are real important. So I want to attack that one first. So beliefs, how do we start shifting a belief? Well, you know, if you believe, if you really truly believe anything, really, but if you your belief is that money is the root of all evil and everything is bad, 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 then there are reasons that you have for that. So a person could list for me, well, you know, people get really greedy and they get really selfish, and that's not the person that I want to be. And people hoard money and they put down other people. They're not kind to the average person or the person who makes less than they do. So you can make a whole list of why money's evil. So to switch that, we want to make a list of why money's okay to make, because there are a lot of great things that you yes, please, Dwayne just put in the thing, please post any questions that you have during the conversation. It's very important to be interactive, and it does help. It makes everything very exciting and very interesting. So back to the money. To shift the belief of why you shouldn't make money is to ask the question why it's good to make money, or answer that question and put down as many reasons as you can think of. Can any of you think of what reasons are great to make money for? You know, why you should make money? The one that really I focus on is that if I make more money, I can help more people. You know, I can donate more time. If I make more money, I won't have to work as much as, excuse me, as much as I do on my job in the hours, and I can take that time and now do some more volunteer work. Or I could contribute financially to helping, you know, other areas, specifically helping a child. Or I could adopt a child. I mean, if we really get out there and look at some of the things that you could do with money, I could adopt a child if I didn't, you know, since I don't have any children of my own. I'm just looking personally for myself. This is not necessarily what you have to do, but this is something that at least gives you a little bit of an example. So, Duane, what are a couple things that you think about that are great about making money?
Well, money is a neutral thing. It can be used for good or evil. The scripture that we were referencing at the beginning, which is probably the single most misquoted scripture in the Bible, you always hear that, you know, it's in the Bible, money is the root of all evil. Actually, what the scripture says is the love of money is the root of all evil. And you think about it, there's a huge difference in what those two statements mean. The one that is actually scriptural is the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, what can you do with money? Okay, you can commit acts of terror. You can use money to fly airplanes into high-rise buildings. You could also use the same money and, you know, the Benjamin on that $100 bill, however you spend him, Ben is not going to smile or frown. Ben's just going to sit there and stare back at you, okay?
Right.
So you can fly airplanes into buildings, or you can build an orphanage.
Right.
You can do any number of things. You can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless. You can free up time to spend with your family. Because basically, for most people, a job is you're exchanging time for money. Okay? You need the money so that you can provide for your family, food, shelter, clothing, college, all the things that, you know, a family needs. You exchange your time with an employer for financial compensation so that you can do all of those things. And so money should not be thought of as either good or bad. Money should be thought of as simply a tool. Now, I know a lot of people who have big hearts for ministry. Man, they are so driven and they are so passionate, and they have not just a big list of things they want to do, but they have a detailed list. I mean, they've really given it thought. They know that they need X amount of these things and so many mosquito nets and the other and the other. But here's the thing. It always comes back to this. Ministry costs money.
Sure.
Philanthropy costs money. Good deeds cost either time or money. And remember, we trade time for money. So you can change the world or destroy the world with money. Without money, you're not going to do much.
Yeah, and so it's real important that if you do have that other mindset, that it's not appropriate, or you remember that your parents gave you that kind of belief that it's not good to make money, then how you shift that around is you take a piece of paper and you put at the top, what's great about making money? And so you put that there and you start writing answer by answer. It's good to make money because of this. It's good to make money because of this. It's good to make money because I can contribute. It's good to make that list really, really big. I always encourage my really high-end traders to include contribution in some way, shape, or form, whether it's time or whether it's money, to people that really need it. If I run into a trader that doesn't do that, I work very hard to get them to turn around, because I believe, my belief is that if you've been put on this path to be a trader, then it's your opportunity to do something exceptional for your family first, for your neighborhood second, for the community after that, and then even something bigger. We say, well, what can one person do? You know, I'm only one person. You know, one of my favorite people is Gates, because the foundation that he has is so large, and he, you know, has inoculated all of Africa. He has computers. I think he had computers on every desk in every library. He really has done massive things, to the point that he managed his money so well that one of the wealthiest men in the country put his money behind him, which was Buffett. Mm-hmm. So and worked on putting it into the foundation. So there's a tremendous example of a person with wealth and how he's grown it, and all the things that he does. I mean, the philanthropy that Bill Gates does is just mind blowing. You know, so what can one person do? I don't expect anybody to be necessarily a Gates, although I would love everybody to be a Gates. It really is amazing what you can do with just a little bit of time or a little bit of extra money. I mean, we see it, you know, on Red Rock Search and Rescue. You know, we went out yesterday for a search, and we were looking for two little boys who hadn't returned to home from the day before. Good news is we uncovered, or they stopped us from searching and said that the little boys were found at a friend's house and mom never knew. So that was a great ending to a story. And even though that we, you know, had to go out, spend our time or whatever, it still makes you feel good that should those kids have been lost, we would have been right there to see if we could find them as quickly as possible, because on any search, time is critical, especially with two little boys. So that was a good ending to a story. So, again, let's go back to dollar threshold, because I know that's why you're here. Dollar threshold. So how do you know if you're hitting a dollar threshold? I want you to notice when you're trading or you're doing anything related to cash, do you ever butt up against one number often over and over and over again where you can't seem to get through it? So do you hit a certain amount? Excuse me, I've got the hiccups today. In the trading day, do you hit a number, let's say your profitability number, all the time and can't get through that? It seems like the trade right after you hit that number doesn't want to seem to work. Do you hit it on the downside? Now, that's another way. You can have a dollar threshold on the downside where you're constantly put in the pattern to lose money every day. If you're in that situation, then I would really like you to focus on ways that you can end the day profitable no matter what. Play some games with yourself as far as money goes on locking in cash. You know, if you get into the pattern of not making money each day, it's a pattern that can persist over and over and over again. And there are some things that you can do. So here's some things you could do to lock in cash. Firstly, you want to – I have some traders that will actually – go into sim mode. You know, they're fairly new traders. They haven't been out there very long. They go into sim mode. They take three trades that work. Okay, three trades that work. And when those three trades work, they're allowed to switch back to live mode. Then they take a trade. If that trade works, they're allowed to continue trading. If that trade doesn't work, they go back to sim. And they trade three more trades. They have to have three trades in a row that work. Now, those trades work, they go back to live. So there are many things that you can do, and it's not a question of just being in sim mode or being live. So that's not a question. You could be, there is what I call gray. It's not black and white. You don't have to always be in sim mode and always be in live mode. You can go back and forth. A lot of people that say to me, oh, I do great in sim, but I do terrible when I trade. Well, sometimes switching it back and forth can trick your mind, because if you don't really realize what you're doing and you're flipping back and forth, you may be making money on the time that you think you're not making money and you're in sim mode, but you're really in live mode. So the thing is to really watch if you hit a dollar threshold. Now, a dollar threshold can exist with anybody that's new. It can exist, with anybody that's been in the business for several years. And it can even exist at the very high end where somebody is making $1 million a year. I had one trader who taught a class. He teaches trading. And his first level that he couldn't get through was the 500,000. Then the next level he couldn't get through was $1 million. And when he first called me, it was many years ago, and then he did really, really well. And then he hit that dollar threshold again, and he called me back, and he says, oh, you're not going to believe this. Now I'm stuck at $1 million. I said, well, that's not a bad number to be stuck at. I said, but let's see if we can get you through it. And so we did. We worked him through it, and then he passed that number. So the dollar threshold, I believe, comes from a deep-seated subconscious trigger of the worth that you put on yourself. The worth that you put on yourself. So if you don't think that you're worthy of $1 million, then you're not going to make $1 million. If you don't think you're worthy of making $500, you're not going to make $500. So I had and the reason I say this is because I had a kid in the trading room, and he was a fabulous trader, just fabulous. And this is, again, the heyday of day trading when people were making lots and lots of cash. And I don't bring this up, but there were some really interesting cases that I saw there, and this was one of them, where he would trade. And he'd do really, really well. And I'm just going to pick a number. Let's say he got up to 15,000 in the day, which was very possible at that time. Mm-hmm. He would naturally sabotage his trading and lose like half of it. And then he would work really, really, really hard towards the end of the day, and he'd be back to 15. He went through the seesaw all the time. He'd go way, way up. He'd come back about halfway, and then he'd go up towards the end. And so when we finally sat down to do some coaching, I said, you know, if you could just avoid that middle part there of having it pull back so far, then you could be making, you know, a third more of your cash.
Right.
So why do you think you're doing that? And when we start to talk some more, and he was young, he was probably about 23, 24, he said that my parents, when I come home and I tell them how much, because you're still living at home, my parents tell me that what I'm doing is gambling and that the money isn't worth it because I didn't work hard for it. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You work a tremendous amount. Look at how your brain is moving. So what I did was I shifted around that he was working hard. This is a different type of working than manual labor or a lot of time put in, because some people equate working hard with the amount of time they put in, and some people will equate working hard with the amount of energy that they put in. And so I said, you know, you put tons of brain power into this thing. And also, because he was young, he hadn't made big amounts of cash before at other jobs. So now he was also hitting his dollar threshold. And so he would get to this certain number, sabotage, give it back. Get to a certain number, sabotage, give it back, and then start again. And some days he'd make it back, and some days he wouldn't. And so we shifted him around, and then I gave him some words to give to discuss with his family. I said, if your parents say this, that it's not, you haven't worked hard, then I want you to reply, but you know, I have worked hard. I worked hard all day long. I worked from 9 to 3 or 4, whatever time. And during that time, I managed to look at all these different screens, analyze what was going on during that time, make the proper decision to enter the trade, look at all the screens again, and make the proper decision to exit the trade. That takes a tremendous amount of brain power. And I worked very hard for my money. So I allowed him to step into the role of trader and also explain to the parents what working hard was for him. That was his definition of working hard. And each person's definition is a little different. Well, the parents lightened up, and they apologized because he was really fabulous. Because, you know, I didn't know at the time that this is how the market was only going to be temporarily. I didn't know it was going to change like it did. I thought that's how it was because it was when I first started trading. And so, you know, they kept on saying, you know, this is going to end soon. You got to go for it while it's there and while this is happening because this is not going to stay like this. And they were right. And I was there for 3 years, but that they were right that changed dramatically after that time. So knowing your dollar threshold, knowing if you're sabotaging when you hit it, is pretty simple when you look at are you coming across the same number over and over and over again. That's how you identify it. How you manage it is by reversing the thought process. What are you thinking in the moment to believe that it's not okay to make more? Now, I had another woman, she called me, and she said, just sold a big company, and the big company, she made millions of dollars on selling the company. It was some IT company in California. But she only paid herself between $80,000 and $100,000 a year salary. She didn't pay herself a lot. And it was a very successful company. Well, she sold the business for millions, and she started to trade. She put $50,000 into her account, and she would work it up to $80,000, and then she would sabotage, and she'd get all the way back down to $20,000. She would sabotage that much. Then she would add another $30,000 because she had – obviously, she had the money now. And she would work it up to $80,000. She would go back to $20,000. And she'd add another $30,000 and bring it to $50,000. So there were two numbers that kept popping up for me. The $80,000 that she would hit and sabotage. And the $50,000 that she felt comfortable in. And so I said to her, her solution was this. When you hit 80, take $30,000 out of that account, put it somewhere else. Put it in another trading account. I don't care where. Just take it out of that account where you are.
Okay.
2 months go by. She calls me back. She says, you're not going to believe this. I said, what's that? She says, that really worked. I said, what do you mean it worked? She said, I took 30 out the first month. I took 30 out the second month. I got 60,000 in another account. And I'm now up in my account another 30 again. I said, okay, now we're in phase two. I want you to keep the money in the account until you hit 90,000. You got 10K more to go. 10K more to go. When you hit that, I want you to take 30,000 out. Bring your account down to 60. So she worked that for a couple months, worked beautifully, called me back. She says, it worked again. I've got all this extra money now in this other account, and I'm starting to look at other things to trade. And I'm up to 60 is my base number, and I've worked it up to 90. I said, okay, every month I want you to add another 10,000. So the next month she'd go up to 100,000, and then her baseline would be 70. And slowly she would work it up there. Now, that's an exaggerated example of how you can do it on your own. So the key thing is to stretch the top limit just a little bit so it's still comfortable. And if you find that you're sabotaging and giving it back, take it out of your account. Literally, take it out of your account and start again. Work it up, work it up, work it up, work it up. Get it to the top again. Take it out again. But now, as if that starts to work for you, then start moving the bottom baseline number of what you keep in your account when you take the money out. And so you're moving both ends. You're moving your baseline up a little bit each time, and you're moving the dollar threshold up a little bit each time. This allows your mind to get comfortable with the new numbers, and also allows for your new identity of who you believe you are and what you feel or what your subconscious feels is your worth that you're worth more each time. You're worth more each time, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's one of the great tricks that you can do to if you're hitting that dollar threshold. If you're having challenges with money in general, and let's say you're losing a certain amount all the time, you need to work to make money every day. You want to get going in what I call a forward-thinking direction, not a backwards-thinking direction. Oh, how? Listen to these two statements. How can I not lose at the trade, or how can I make more money at the trade? If you say, how can I not lose at the trade, you're going to focus on losing. If you focus on how can I make that trade better, how can I make that trade more successful, that's thinking in a forward direction, and it's going to pull your trading in a forward direction. Forward thinking is very, very, very important. If you go in there every day and say, how can I not lose at this trade again, then you're going to be losing. You're going to manifest losing that day. So how do we do this? Well, again, do it in small incremental steps. I don't care if you make $10 a day. Set a small goal that you can make in the day and stick to it. Really, really stick to the disciplines. Set a goal for $100 a day. When you hit the $100, that's when you have to put some rules in place and not give back the money. You can set a rule that says, and this is one I'm giving you now, these are temporary situations. These are not things that you're going to do on a regular basis because they could contradict a trading strategy or a methodology. This is just to get your cash going in a forward direction. So you set a goal for the day that you know you can make. Don't set a goal that you can't make. If it's $10, that's perfect. I don't care. $1,000, perfect. I don't care. You set the parameters. The goal is to hit that number every single day. When you feel comfortable with it, then you increase it every single day. Too easy? You hit it, increase it. Now, if you go into a trade, one of the rules that I had when I was doing this exercise with myself, because I got into a losing slump at one point, which we all have a tendency to do, I said, I'm going to make money every day. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I said, why am I deciding I got to make $3,000 today when I can't even get it, I can't even be profitable today? So I switched my thinking and I said, I'm just going to make money today. I don't care what it is and set a goal I know I can make. I will feel better tomorrow knowing I made my goal than if I failed again. It will be better for my psychology, my confidence, and my certainty. So I set a small goal and I said, okay, I made $100. My game, the game that I created, and you can create your own game, whatever works for you. I had to do 3 days and make at least $100. Now, my rule was if I hit $100, I was allowed to continue trading. However, if that next trade, after I made the $100, was a losing trade, I had to minimize the loss, keep some cash, whatever it was, but I wasn't allowed to trade anymore. I mean, this was really working my discipline because I would see stuff move in the market. And I was going, oh, but I'm missing, I'm missing. Nope. This is just a way to learn to get discipline into your trading style and get your rules set, because a lot of times I would see that same opportunity when I was losing before and I just lose some more because I wasn't in the right mindset, I wasn't seeing things clearly, and I wasn't doing something right, and I had to figure out what that was. So made $100. Okay, that was too easy. Now, if you continue trading, you're allowed to continue trading. And if you have a winning trade after you hit your goal. So you could have 5-10 trades that you lock in more cash. And you can make 600 in the day because each of those trades was a profitable trade. Okay, each of those trades was a profitable trade. So here's the deal. This is great because what this does is, when you lock, let's say it's $100, you hit your $100, and you have a losing trade, but you then lock in cash, you go to sim mode and you just trade. You just practice. Now you've been successful. The first day you hit 100, next day you hit 300, next day you hit 100, and you go, you know what, this is really easy. I'm going to raise my goal to 200. You raise your goal to 200. If you don't make the 200 in the first day, go back to the 100. Only set a goal you know you can make, or go to 150 and see if you can make that one. Slowly raise the bar every day until you're getting consistency, you're doing discipline, and you are setting some rules for yourself. Really, really work this, because it works. So now you have the rule, and it says, I can only make 100, my goal is $100 a day. You take the next trade, you win. What that does is your mindset is saying, okay, I only got one trade left now. If I don't win at this trade, then I got to stop. And I want to really trade this market, so I better be really, really cautious and really, really certain about my setup before I enter the next trade, because if I lose, I got to stop for the day. So I want you to have that thinking in your mind, because that next trade is a stop or not stop for the day in live mode. And so by thinking that way and thinking that you may have to stop trading when you really want to will make you choose your setup very carefully and work harder at that trade because you want to continue. So, again, set any kind of game that works for you. I mean, this is just something I did for myself. It worked nicely. I give it to my clients. And it allows you to slowly gain profitability going in a forward direction. If you are losing every single day, you don't have it. You are not creating a methodology or a foundation for being successful. If you need help, get a coach. You know, we can help you through that. Be sure that you decide and look at yourself honestly as to how you're approaching the market. If it's not working, get help. You know, there's plenty of help in the CFRN room, you know, during the mornings with Michael. You can do the free trial with them and get a full week. People are there to help you. I'm on the radio from 9 to 11 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays typically. And then Friday we always do the Coach's Corner. So you can ask questions anytime, and it's all free. It's all free. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. It's very worthwhile. It's very worthwhile. Are there any questions? Do we have any questions? Any questions for the day? And if not, then we're going to call it a day and wish everybody a great weekend. But first we'll open it for questions. Anybody?
Yeah, let me go the chat box and take a little look.
Okay.
See what we got. All right. There was a comment I know from Dwayne G. earlier.
Okay.
He said, Dwayne, you're right. It is the love of money. He was highlighting the word love. It is the love of money, not the money. Money is merely a tool. I found that excess money, just like excess alcohol, simply accentuates whatever existing traits you already have. Good hearts become more generous. Selfish people become more selfish. And angry people become angrier. And, I mean, it goes down the line. It simply, you know, whereas alcohol amplifies who and what you already are. And some people might go, no, that's not true. Actually, when he takes alcohol, he becomes a completely different animal.
Especially if they're, you know, if they have an intolerance to alcohol, then it really changes their chemicals. You know, the chemicals in your body are very, very important, and the brain reacts very strongly if you are allergic to alcohol. And people don't realize that they can have a very strong aversion to alcohol in their system, and their chemicals will shift. And that's when they become extremely violent and angry. And alcohol is just not for them. I haven't been drinking. I can't remember the last time I actually had a drink, but I stopped drinking. I think when I started trading, I stopped drinking because I couldn't do both. All the guys would go out after work and drink. I couldn't do it. The next day I wake up and I can't focus. So for me, I just didn't enjoy it because it just affected my trading. So I just decided to stop. And I haven't been sorry that I did. I haven't missed anything. In fact, now, if I think about it, I don't even have the desire, nor does it do it. I just, it doesn't, I don't even, wouldn't even enjoy it at this point.
So,
that's a great comment.
Here's my thought is that it's a bit of a truth serum. In other words, people might at work see you as that mild-mannered guy. You're kind of quiet. You never get out of line. You never cause trouble. But go to the Christmas party, put a few drinks in you, and all of a sudden you become this different person. Now, my belief is that under the surface, you are that other person. It's just that you've had a lifetime of learning how to keep that beast in chains, how to cover it up. But once that alcohol is put in there, it frees all that stuff you've been burying and hiding. And so it's kind of can put you in touch with perhaps even you may not be aware of who and where you really are in life. So it can be, I'm not encouraging anyone to drink or to drink on a regular basis, but it can be an eye-opening experience. It can help you to go, my goodness, do I really feel that way? Is that little pot on the back of the stove simmering all the time? And when I add that little bit of alcohol, it suddenly starts to bubble over. Now, it's just something to think about, folks. And money can be the same thing. We know there's been more families destroyed over money. They say that 90% of the reason for all divorces is directly tied to money.
Yep.
And it's not always the lack of money. Sometimes it's the excess of money.
That is absolutely true.
The husband becomes absolutely a playboy because he has a lot of money and the Ferrari and the nice suit. He's more attractive to the ladies, and so the temptation is greater, and his ability to resist maybe becomes diminished over time. So it can go both ways. So money, alcohol, both very powerful aphrodisiacs. They should be handled with extreme care and caution.
Yeah.
The people that I have tremendous respect for are people who have, I don't know if there's such a term as unlimited wealth, but who have more money than they are going to spend in this lifetime.
Right.
They do good works, they do good charitable deeds, but if you just met them casually, if me and this person and you, we went out for coffee somewhere, you would leave that meeting going, man, that guy's a really nice guy. I like him. It felt good being around him. I would like to spend time with that guy. But you would never go away from that conversation knowing that he was an incredibly wealthy individual based upon anything that he said. Because that's not his
character.
He's
humble.
He's very humble. Exactly. He's also not going to drag out false money.
He doesn't need significance. He doesn't need the approval of significance. Those people that have, for me, I look for those people who don't necessarily have to say, it was me that did that. Their significance is not tied to the money. They just give it freely. They don't need the recognition. They know who they are. They're very secure. And they just give unconditionally. They just give it because they feel it's the right thing to do. They have more than their share, and they're going to help a lot of people. And that is really a fabulous, fabulous place to set as a goal for anybody in the trading environment.
Now, back to the diet, to the dollar threshold thing. Pete had commented, it's hard to say, Robin. They have me on a diet of 2 points a day.
Okay. Here's that 2 point thing again.
And that's okay, Pete, because the dollar threshold thing, as you begin to increase your number of contracts. Now, we're very stringent and firm about what we want partners to do. We can't make you do anything, but we want you to first become consistently profitable in the simulator. Start with one contract. After you make $1,000, you go to two contracts. You make another $1,000, you go to three. What will happen is if you never change the 2-point factor, as you increase the number of contracts over time based on profitability in the market, you will find, Robin is so right, you will find some spot in your brain that you, without even realizing it, this is going to be on a very subconscious
level. Oh, yeah, you don't realize it.
You think you're worth $3,000 a day, but there's something back there that tells you you're not worth $4,000 a day. And so watch your equity curve, and when that thing starts to flatten out, okay, because the market hasn't changed, the setup hasn't changed, and if you're trading in the S&P 500, because it is so liquid, as are many of the other contracts we trade, like the crude, the liquidity is not the reason. So you have to ask yourself, why is it, you know, I increase my contracts, I increase, but, man, I got to five, but every time I go to six, I end up with a loss or a string of losses. I go back to five, build it up again, go to six because I've earned the right, and this thing just keeps repeating itself. Okay, you found your dollar threshold, and now is when you can continue to repeat that cycle. You can just stay at five because you've figured out. Now, you've got to be careful, though, because stinking thinking might creep in, and something there might start to convince you you're not even really worth, you know, the five. So when you see that, and you see that repeat itself, then figure it out. Figure out what it is that you need to change in your thinking, okay? If the amount of money you make trading six contracts causes you an issue but five doesn't, then start thinking about what it's going to be like when you trade 10. Because then the six will seem like, you know, not so much, and maybe you'll just glide right through that. That's just an idea. That's a thought. But as you grow in this business, and it's, whether you're trading e-mini futures or equities or Forex or whatever it is, Robin is so right. You're going to reach that point where something that was instilled in you as a child growing up, something you learned, something you read, because our belief systems, we are products of our environment. And so you may not have hit your cap yet, but when you do, recognize it for what it is. Okay, I'm trading the same instrument, using the same setup, the same indicators, the same methodology, the same technique. Yeah, everything's the only thing is there's obviously something. I got a short circuit at that number. Okay, it can be fixed, and it may be fixed by simply calling, doing a coaching session with Robin, a couple of sessions. She can help you pinpoint that one thing. And it could be something, I don't want to oversimplify something, but maybe your dad worked really hard all of his life, and you know that after 20 years of service or 40 years of service, that he maxed out at $50,000 a year, just to draw a number out of the air. For most of us, looking back at our parents, I'm going to say it might be more like 25 or 30,000.
I was just going to say, you just described my mom. You know, my mom, I think her last salary at General Foods, and she worked her way up through there, was probably about 45,000.
Okay.
And so anything above 45,000 was too much money. Was she was like, you know, she never took into consideration. She never took into consideration the increase of how things had been increasing. I could buy a 240Z for $4,000 at that time too.
Yeah, that's true. So any other, let's see, Pete says the ES found resistance at the T line. Now, Pete, what time frame are you looking at? Daily, hourly?
He might be just looking at
Robin,
your chart.
Where have you been all my life? This is great stuff.
Oh, good. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Now,
I've got to get some webinars out there for you guys to come to, too. We've got some extra things we're brewing here. I've just been working really hard. A lot on my plate right now. So we're getting there. We're getting there. So stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of really neat stuff this year.
Bill in Texas. Hey, Bill. Bill, I was supposed to meet Bill at church when he was in Phoenix. Let me make sure I got the right Bill here. And my alarm system, my fire alarms and burglar alarms, the whole thing went haywire. I ended up not meeting this guy. He's in town, and I'm supposed to meet him at church. I didn't show up. And so, Bill, I told the story on the day that you were making your trip back home, and you and I haven't had a chance to chat since then.
Yeah, that was quite a day. I don't know if you want to relive that again, do you?
It was a horrible day. It was just horrible. I felt terrible. But anyway, Bill said, great stuff, Robin. Thank you for this. Pete has a question. He says, Robin, is what you're saying the same as adding a contract for every 1,000 you add to your account and take one off if you go down that amount? I'm not sure what part of what you said you're referring to.
No, not really, because, again, you want to just set a goal that you know you can make, whatever that is. Put rules in place. I guess the bottom line is Dwayne and I both are just throwing out a bunch of suggestions. You have to find what works for you. I don't trade a contract unless I have $1,500 in the account for that contract, and I like to have a little breathing room in the account. So you want to have something that works for you, and it's going to depend on how much you're giving back, you know, when you're having your losses. You got to minimize, you know, the rule, minimize the losses and maximize the profits. You have to get going in a forward direction where you're making money every day and slowly stretch it, get more and more and more, make more and more, not go down and down. Or seesaw. Seesaw trading is I make money one day, I lose the next day. Make money the next day, lose money, make money, lose money. You go back and forth, and at the end of the month, you have nothing. You have to get going in a forward direction. On occasion, you're going to have a day that doesn't work, and let's say that your goal is $500 a day, and you're doing that fairly regularly, and let's say that next day you happen to not stick to your rules and you gave back $1,000. Well, how many days is it going to take you to get back your money? 2 days. You know, 2 days it's going to take you back to get back your money. But if you're seesawing and you're not sure about your trading and you lose $1,000, it could take you a month to get back that money if you're not trading properly. So knowing what, getting up in the morning and knowing what you can absolutely positively make is a great confidence level to get to as quickly as possible. It's a great confidence level because you know you can wake up no matter what the market throws at you, you can make that amount of money. And you know if the market's not giving you anything, you don't even have to trade that day. You will get that good at it. So manage your cash flow and do the risk management of your cash flow as much as you're looking at your trading strategy, as much as you're looking at the psychology, because the risk management of your cash flow is going to be critical. And a lot of traders just don't think about it or don't do anything about it. And so by looking at how much you can make in the day and know you can make that, builds your confidence, your certainty, and gives you a way to expand and move forward and become successful and managing the amount you lose. So, no, I don't think it's attached to the contracts, but the decision that you make based on your contracts is very important. If you're not winning, then reduce it, because why would you want to give back till your trading gets back on again? The hardest thing to trade, the only thing is, the hardest thing to trade is one contract. It is the hardest thing to trade because you have in your mind. Now, let me give you one more quick trick. We're way over here. Let me give you one more quick trick. If you're tracking your numbers on your trade and you have the profitability of that trade and you're trading one contract, but ideally you would like to trade three, and it's just frustrating you because you're not trading three contracts and you have the tendency to want to push and go to the three too quickly, then keep a third column on your spreadsheet or an extra column that has the total you would be making at three contracts, even though you're not making it yet, so that you know if you consistently do that over and over and over again, this is what you would be making if you were trading three contracts. So do one total, which is the reality total, and the other total is the three contract total as you're starting. And look at the two and look at that and say, I just made this, because that's the number you would be making if your trading's nice and consistent, and slowly work up to that. And don't worry about the one and two contracts when you first start out. Don't worry about it. This is how you get your foundation in, your certainty in, your ability to look at your strategy, your approach, your methodology, get your rules in place, get your distinctions in place. And if you know any of my work, distinctions are nice things to know that help you with the market, but they're not related to cash. And I look at rules as things that help you manage your cash. And write those things down, read them every day, and get your foundation. Work at this. You have to work at this. It just doesn't come by osmosis. The people who have been in the business a very long time have worked very, very hard to get to where they are. And they got to where they are because they became diggers. And they really looked at every part of the trade. Their mental aspect, their risk management, their money management, their strategy, their methodology, the markets they choose to trade. You have to find your way, and everybody's a little different. Everybody's thinking is a little different, but you can get there. And if you need help, ask for help. And with that, I'm going to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I will see you on Monday back on the show at 9 to 11 Pacific time.
Hang on, Rob. P wanted to say, Robin, by the way, I love your website. I visit it regularly. I've never missed a Coach's Corner.
Great.
Let's see, what else we got in here?
Thank you for that. I appreciate
Bill,
all
also,
you guys.
You
know, I love
much.
Traders. I love you guys. I love traders. You know, this is such a unique business. This is such a great opportunity. There's so many things that you can do. There's so many people's lives you can affect by becoming successful. I would love nothing than to help you become successful. And so would Dwayne.
Yeah. Pete says there's a good dog and a bad dog that lives within all of us. And it depends on which dog you feed that has the effect on how we act and live out our lives.
Yep. So. That's a great analogy. That's so true. You know, everybody has, you know, and I'm just like you guys. I've had my moments. There's no doubt. There are times where I've had my moments. I'm not proud of them, but I certainly look to minimize them when I can and really come from my heart. And if I come from my heart, then I know things will work. And I'm probably 98% a really good person, and that 2% slips out on occasion.
We're all human, you know. We're human. Yep. We live in a fallen world, and so. Okay, Robin. The market guys, you might have noticed, we got within one tick of our highest weekly trading zone.
Isn't that something?
One tick. This is our highest zone for the week. Now, the cash market is at 1,500.54, up 5.8 points on the day. We've still got more time to trade. We'll see where we end up. I'll blog about it tonight. But this is.
I'm going to look at that time thing today and see what happens. That's got my interest.
Yeah, watch it, because here in 15 minutes, the market's going to close, but then in 30 minutes, it's going to reopen. It blew me away, because I've been watching the markets a long time. And when I looked up at 3:45 Chicago time on a Friday afternoon and the markets were trading, I called Michael. I said, hey, what's going on, man? You know, did something happen?
Yeah.
He goes, what are you talking about? I go, the markets are trading. He goes, no, they're not. He goes, today's Friday. I said, open your chart. Yeah. Turn your monitor on. He goes, wow. Now, look
and
at this.
Be sure we want to mention, too, that if you have a particular topic or a challenge that you're having in your trading and you want it to be brought up on the Coach's Corner, then please do me a favor and send that over to Dwayne or me. My email, my private email is RD for Robin Dane, Coach, COACH, the number 22, at yahoo.com. Send me an email. Tell me what you would love to see on the here on the show, and I'll work very hard to get that out there.
I just put that email address in the chat room for everybody.
Thank you.
And guys, on her site, right here, big red button, test your trading emotions. Okay. And if you scroll down, there is some free stuff here. How to survive a trading blow up, it's a webinar, emotional triggers, difference. 4 years of radio shows with traders, interviews with traders. Now, here's the thing. Just because they're 4 years old, the psychological problems that plague traders are they go all the way back to what was the guy's name?
The Beginning of Time.
Yeah, what was that one guy, the book, Confessions of a Stock Operator? Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Lefebvre, Lebrun, something.
All right. So anyway, guys, we'll let you go. Robin, thank you so much. Guys,
yep.
I'll upload this over the weekend for those of you that maybe missed part of it.
Okay.
And you can go back and listen to it again. And Robin, I'll if I don't talk to you over the weekend, I'll see you Monday morning.
Okay, great,
Dwayne. During the live radio broadcast, okay?
Okay, you have a great weekend.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Hey, guys, I'm going to head out, too. Look at that. We just got there. We tagged $14.99. On this first run, we missed it by a tick, and we sold off. Now let's do this. From this pivot low, let's just draw a little trend line right here. Now, we had put out a tweet earlier today to short 90 and a quarter. If price came back down, as we came down to test 91, I sent out a tweet to consider selling 90 and a quarter. That never got triggered. Okay. Let me show you simple. I haven't looked at it since we've been talking with Robin. Okay, but simple told us to buy 80.50. Big drawdown all the way down to 94. Okay, so that was a four. Is that 94? Let's see. Yeah. So 4.5 point drawdown. Now here, that's the thing. Simple right now is running off of an hourly time frame, and your account size may not be such that you're ready to trade and deal with 4 point drawdowns. You could have gotten into this trade using a smaller time frame, so that you only had to risk 2 points, but you would, no matter how you got into it, you would have gotten stopped out. Because here's where it triggered 80.50. Went all the way back to 84. And now here it is. So far we've put in a high of 99 and a quarter. So that's, what, 3 ticks potential profit in this trade so far? After a 4 point drawdown. So, you know, we'll see how it ends up. Well, and now this, if we don't get a sell signal into the close, if Simple doesn't issue a sell signal, then this buy order remains valid over the weekend. It certainly doesn't mean you have to stay in the trade. It just means that the long side is valid until there is an alternate signal. And it will always be, as you can see right here, let me just show you. It's going to tell you to sell, and then it's going to tell you to buy, and then it's going to tell you to sell. And even though that doesn't get triggered, it still gave you the signal. It just, the trade never got triggered because price didn't trade that low. So you know that after this sell signal comes out, you know that the next command is going to be to buy. Okay? And there you go. Now, remember we talked about this is a machine, and the machine at this stage of the game doesn't know about this the importance of this weekly trading zone and 5-year highs in the S&P E-mini. See, this is a mathematical formula, and we're still working on how to tell this mathematical formula to go over here and compute and add in this data. Right now we have to do that by sight, which is why I said, based on the simple signal for 98.50, you might want to wait and let that thing, you know, get above 1500 before you go getting long, unless you just want to mechanically take the signals. So we're working all that out. It's a work in progress. Our main idea, That is amazing, Pete. Our main goal is for you to get profitable to the tune of 2 points per day in 2 hours in the live trading room. That's our primary goal. Everything else, like developing simple, using whether you use that as a trading tool or as a confirmation tool to just help you get an idea as to what the right side of the market might be at any given time. Okay, so the way you might use that is you might, you know, simple said, all right, you know, buy 88.50. So you know that bigger picture outlook is that the market is going to go higher. But this is where your brain comes into play and goes, all right, I can buy that, or I can buy it, but I want to see it overcome two important hurdles. Weekly trading zone and 5-year high. Okay. Now look what's happened. We hit the zone and here we come back down. The markets are going to close in 9 minutes. They're going to reopen in 24 minutes. 25. Unless I was dreaming the other day when they reopened. I think it was last Friday. Yeah, you're right, Pete. Simple needs to learn to look left. It needs to learn to look left and look overhead. So we're going to keep grinding away at it as time permits. But again, our primary objective is to make sure that you guys get profitable to the tune of 2 points per day in 2 hours. Okay? You see Mike doing it day in and day out in the live trading room. Our biggest desire is to convey that to you so that you're able to do it with the same level of confidence. Now, when he comes in every morning, okay, he doesn't come in arrogant. He doesn't come in proud. He doesn't come in big-headed. It's like he's going to his job at the factory where they make widgets. He just sits down and starts making widgets. Okay, maybe sometimes, like yesterday, I don't remember about today, but yesterday the first widget he made, it had a blemish. It was a NASDAQ trade that got stopped out. So I guess you throw that over your left shoulder or your right shoulder and it goes into the scrap heap. And then he just immediately began making another widget. Okay? And I can't remember if the second widget came out perfect or if it had a blemish. If it had a blemish, he just tossed it over his shoulder, went to work on the third one. Okay? Not spending any time licking his wounds. That's not hygienic. You don't do that. You just move on to the next trade, the next setup. If you happen to hit your max loss limit for the day, okay, that's another story. The platform stops you from trading live if you're trading live, and you go into the demo or you take a walk. Some days it's better to just take a walk. Okay. Speaking of Michael, do I hear you in the background there, Michael? I thought I heard him in the background. I guess it wasn't him. Okay. All right, guys. I'm done. Look at how this thing, how quickly it came off of that level right there. Now, if we get below this trend line, this is really important. If we get below this trend line, now I could do this. I could come to this right here. You've probably seen charts that look like this. Okay, it's starting to look like a GAN fan or a Fibonacci fan there. So if you're drawing it off this swing low, that's your trend line. So that's place for support. If we draw it off of this swing low, look how long that thing held. Now, what a beautiful head and shoulders this would have been if it had ever triggered, but it didn't. Okay, head, shoulder, shoulder. The neckline never got pierced. Okay, I don't see any more questions, so thanks for hanging around, guys. If you have any questions for Robin, her email address is in the chat room. And for any of you that might be in here right now on a free trial, I also put that information, I believe, in the chat room. Let me check. No, I'm sorry. If you're not on a free trial, if you're just in here because you want to come to the Coach's Corner, well, we're glad you did. And I just put into the trading room right now the link that you can go and take the free trial. If you download it right now, you'll be able to get the charts up and running and the data flowing before Bert and Leslie leave for the weekend. And so you could call, if you run into any kind of a hitch, just call them toll free, 866-928-3310. They'll be in, Leslie, I know, will be in the office for at least another hour or two. Bert's probably ready to leave here pretty shortly, but call them. They'll be happy to help you. Maybe you've already installed your platform, but you're still, you know, fidgeting with your indicators trying to get something. Call them. They're there for you. You're not bugging them. You're not bothering them. You're part of why they're there. And so they're happy to hear from you, and they love helping people, okay? They get a great sense of satisfaction from helping you have aha moments, okay? So don't hesitate to call. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.